Now open your Bibles again to the book of 2 John. Now if you will read my text carefully and slowly, you'll find John repeating the same statement three times. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. Doctrine of Christ. Now let's look at it. In verse 9 and 10, 2 John, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, whatever this is, hath not God. Now you think about that. No matter how religious or how faithful or how orthodox, if he transgresseth and does not abide in this doctrine of Christ, he does not have God, doesn't know God, doesn't love God, doesn't worship God. That's what John said. And he that abideth, what does it mean to abide in Christ and in the doctrine of Christ? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And if any come to you, preacher, evangelist, missionary, friend or neighbor, come your way, or whatever organization or effort or program they promote, and they bring not this doctrine of Christ, don't invite them into the house. And don't buy them any gasoline to help them on their way. Because those who do, he that biddeth him Godspeed, he that shows friendliness to a man denying the doctrine of Christ, will partake with him in his judgment. The doctrine of Christ. Now, I have no objections to the term doctrine of grace. I hear the doctrines of grace. I hear people, does he preach the doctrines of grace? Do they believe the doctrines of grace? People say, I came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. I have no objection to that at all. For our doctrine is certainly the doctrine of the grace of God. That's scripture in John. The doctrine of the grace of God. Adorn the doctrine of the grace of God, or the doctrine of God our Savior. But if you ask me this morning, what is my creed? What is your creed, Pastor? My creed is Christ Jesus. Very emphatically and very strongly, I declare unto you, my creed is not on a piece of paper, it's in a person. If you ask me this morning, what is your doctrine? What is your doctrine? My doctrine is Christ. Now that he is my doctrine. If you ask me, well, what is your favorite body of divinity? There is only one body of divinity, and that's Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him. You ask me what is my rule of life? Very simply, Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't simply come to a knowledge of grace. I hear this frequently. I came to a knowledge of grace. I didn't. I learned Christ. And there's a difference. I hear people say, well, I learned the doctrines of grace. I was over here in religion and religious zeal and enthusiasm and whoop-de-doo and winning souls and walking now and doing all these things. Then I learned grace. I didn't. I learned Christ. I did not simply come to a knowledge of grace. I came to know Jesus Christ. You know what Paul said? Oh,
that I may know grace. No, oh, that I may know Him. Him. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him.
My friends, you can have doctrinal orthodoxy and not have Christ. And too many people do. But you cannot have Christ and not love His doctrine. Isn't that true?
You can have the doctrine, and you can have it in the letter, and you can have it with all the precision and mechanics and orthodoxy of all the puritanical fathers,
and miss Christ a million miles.
But if you ever learn Christ, if you ever by grace, by faith through grace, receive Christ,
you'll learn the doctrines. I've had people say to me, well, you don't think a person has to believe in election to be saved, do you? Oh, no, he has to believe Christ. But when he meets election, he'll believe it. That's right, because Christ is the Christ of election.
His Christ has the power to do what he will. Well, you don't believe a man has to believe in the sovereignty of God in all things, in providence, creation, and salvation in order to be saved, do you? Oh, no. No, not for a minute. He has to know Christ, love Christ, and believe Christ. But when he meets the truth in the Scripture of God's absolute, immutable, indisputable sovereignty, he'll believe it. He'll believe it because his Christ is sovereign. You don't believe a man has to believe in particular redemption to be saved, do you? Oh, no, no, no. I don't think the thief on the cross knew a whole lot about imputed righteousness or particular redemption. I'll tell you this. When that man who knows Christ, the Christ who cannot fail, the Christ who shall not be discouraged, the Christ in whose hand the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper, the Christ who gave his life for his sheep, when he meets that Christ and loves that Christ and comes across that message, he'll believe it. Guarantee you will. You don't believe a man has to believe it or be baptized to be saved, do you? Oh, no, 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 sir. I go again to the thief on the cross who never walked, who never washed, who never witnessed, who never won a soul, walked into glory with the Son of God. But I'm saying that those who know Christ bow to Christ. They submit to Christ. God saves rebels, but they don't continue to be rebels. He breaks the rebel. And like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, he has a learner's heart and a servant's heart and a willing heart and says, Lord, now what would you have me do? Now just tell me what you want me to do. That's right. You can preach the doctrines of grace and not preach Christ.
But you cannot preach Christ and not preach the doctrines of grace.
Because grace is Christ. And Christ is grace. Salvation is Christ, and Christ is salvation. The Bible is Christ, and Christ is the Bible. A man cannot accurately preach the Bible and not preach Christ. Any more than preach Christ, not preach the Bible. Christ is eternal life. Christ is our life. You ask me to write a thesis on life, I'd say Christ is our life. Want one on hope?
Christ is our hope. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear,
Christ in you, the hope of glory. You want me to write one on sanctification? Christ is our sanctification. You can take this Bible, you can take the eternal purpose of God, the glorious purpose of God from all eternity involving
all creatures and all actions and all events and all purposes and all plans and all election, covenant, and take the word and all events and everything that's ever occurred, ever will occur, has occurred, is occurring, and wrap it up in one thing and sum it up, compress it into one word, and you'll get Christ.
Jesus the Lord. That's right, Richard.
Why don't we preach Christ? Why is it that all over the world today there'll be everything spewed forth in the pulpit
but that which ought to be preached, and that's Christ?
We're going to tell people how to dress and how to walk and how to live and how to give and where to go and when not to go and how to raise their children and how not to. And we're going to tell them everything but what they need to hear. Christ.
I'm getting upset.
I'm just tired of it. Had about all I want. And John said here in 2 John 7, look at it, 2 John 7. And he said they're deceivers. Many deceivers have entered into the world. John lived in a religious world. Oh, it was religious, religious, religious. He had all the same stuff we have. Same religion. That God's plenty, God's many. Many deceivers have entered into the world. And he's not talking here about atheists. He's not talking here about agnostics. They don't bother me. The little fella that stands on the soapbox over yonder in Courtney Square somewhere and says, "There's no God," shakes his fist and says, "If there's a God up there, let him strike me dead." He doesn't bother. Ignore him. He's not talking about the infidels and agnostics. You know who John's talking about here? He's talking about those fine ladies and gentlemen who bear the name Christian. That's who he's talking about. Many deceivers, imposters, hucksters, merchandisers of souls, greedy, covetous, so-called prophets and apostles and preachers have come into this world. These are the folks that bear the name of Christian, reverend, doctor, bishop, cardinal, priest, pope, all of these names. And they come pretending to speak for God, and they come pretending to be ministers of righteousness. And that's not amazing. That's not anything to be amazed about, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Isn't it any wonder that his ministers are ministers of righteousness? These deceivers do not deny God, the existence of a God. Of course, it's not the living God. It's a God. It's their God. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. They brought him down so that they can be understanding. They have God. They've brought him down so that he can accommodate them. They can sort of bargain with him and swap with him and drive some kind of agreement with him. Yeah, they don't deny there's a God, but he's a, like I said out in Arizona, he's a peanut God.
And a lady came up to me and said, "What's a peanut God?" I said, "Ma'am," she said, "what's a peanut God?"
Oh, I said, "I don't know. That's just an old Alabama expression for something that don't amount to nothing." They don't deny morality and holiness. They don't deny heaven and hell. They don't deny that the Bible is the Word of God. Then what is their error? Their error, watch it. Now listen to me. John, living in that religious world with all of its temples and tabernacles and chapels and everything, and its shrines and altars to all these gods and people surrounded by deceivers and deception by so-called angels of light, satanic angels of light, messengers of righteousness. He said they don't deny God. They have a zeal for God. They don't deny morality, heaven and hell, and the Bible's the word. Their error has to do with the person and work of Christ.
That's the error, Cecil. It has to do with Christ. For he said, they confess not. They preach not. They proclaim not. that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
Now I got you, preacher. Yes, they do say that Jesus Christ walked the earth in the flesh.
Yeah, but now wait a minute. What's he saying here? He's saying Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
Is come in the flesh. That's a white horse of another color, isn't it? He is come in the flesh. You and I are in the flesh, and we were born in the flesh, but we didn't come from anywhere. We originated right down here. Right down here. We're in the flesh, but we originated right here. What are we saying here? We're saying this, that he is before he came. He is before he came. He is before he came in the world, in the flesh. He is very God of very God. That's what we're saying, that this Jesus of Nazareth, who lay in the virgin's arms in Bethlehem's manger, is none other than the God who said, let there be light.
That's right. That's who he is.
That carpenter who worked in the carpenter shop beside Joseph is the very one who said, let the dry land appear. That's right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and all things were made by him. He is before all things. We're saying that Jesus Christ is in the flesh, but he's no ordinary man. He is God himself, robed in human flesh. That's what we're saying. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Turn to John chapter 17. Listen to this. Our Lord praying in John 17. John 17, verse 4. Listen to this. In other words, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He became what he was not, in order that we might become what we are not. In John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, he that hath this Son hath the Father. Because the Father and the Son are one. And he that has seen me has seen the Father. I'm saying that Jesus Christ is not just a messenger. He's not just an ambassador. He's not just a prophet. He's just not just a healer. Jesus Christ is God. He is God. We worship our God in the person of Christ. Well, show us the Father. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And the Father said of the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. This is what we're saying. And a man who does not confess that Jesus Christ is who he is an antichrist. And he's a deceiver. No matter how you elevate him, no matter how you put him up here, no matter how much you brag on him, and no matter how much you extol and exalt him, if you don't, in your heart and mind and message and faith, get him clear to where he is above every name, yea, even equal with the Father, you're an antichrist.
You're deceived. See what I'm saying?
It's not thinking highly of Christ. It's not even exalting the name of Christ. It's not putting him higher than most folks you know. It's exactly believing and confessing and proclaiming to the fullest extent his eternal, unchangeable, infinite glory, for he is God. Let us write that down. Let us preach it, proclaim it. Let us be understood by all men. We're saying that he's no less than the Father. He is equal with the Father. That the one whom we crucified is God in human flesh. That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6, said, his name shall be called Wonderful. Not the most wonderful one.
He is wonderful.
His name is Counselor. He's not one of the advisors. He's the counsel. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He didn't come as the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. See what I'm saying? You'll turn to John 5. I'll show you something here that's so important. And my friend, this is where the error is. The error has to do with the person of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. I want to be right on total depravity. I want to be right on election. I want to be right on the legal aspect of the atonement. I want to be right on the power of the Spirit. I want to be right on perseverance. My friend, you've got to be right on Christ, the doctrine of Christ. And if you can come to His feet, if you can come to His throne, if you can camp, if you can just pitch your tent right there at the feet of the Son of God in His eternal, incarnate, holy, crucified, risen, ascended, exalted glory, and feed upon Him, all of these other things will just flow to and through you. And they'll become second nature and elementary. For you can only speak of Him as He is, and doing what He does, and succeeding at what He attempts, when you know Him. Nothing He can't do. So when somebody comes along for this thing of redemption, they say, well, Christ did all He can do, now it's up to you. Say, hey, that's not Christ. God comes along and says, well, you take the first step and God will meet you. Hey, that's not God. That's not the God I know. Fellow comes along and says, the Holy Spirit is knocking at every heart's door and doing all He can to get people to let God have His way. Hey, that's not the Christ I know. You got this messed up, friend. You got the wrong Jesus here. That's another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. See what I'm talking about? You can come to the doctrines and live in confusion. But if you ever come to Christ, the things flow. That's right. Anybody comes to you and says, well, you know, the Lord Jesus will come someday, but the Jews are going to reconstruct the temple and tear down the dome of the rock and reinstitute the sacrifices and set up the abomination of desolation, all going to worship in there. Hey, whoa, wait a minute. Hang on here. That's not Christ. God wouldn't humiliate His Son like that. Ain't no way. You got another Jesus there, friend. See what I'm talking about? In John 5, now watch this. John 5, here about 7 or 8. And boy, when Henry mentions 7 or 8, everybody just, don't let him go an hour. Well, I'll try not to, but I want you to show you this. John 5, 17. The Son is one with the Father in redemptive work. You see, he said, John 5, 17, my Father works and I work. They work the one and same purpose and will and redemptive work, the covenant. And then he said in verse 18, the Jews got angry enough to kill Him. Why? Because the last line, He made Himself equal with God. Equal with God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then in verse 19, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. That doesn't mean He had a limitation, but He never does anything independently of the Father. But what He sees the Father do, that's what He does because they're one. They can't act separately and apart independently of one another. That's what they're saying, God. Everything they do together. Verse 20, the Father loveth the Son and shows Him all things that He does. So the Son knows everything. Omniscience. All knowledge. Nobody else has that. Verse 21, and the Son quickeneth whom He will. He'll give life to whom He will. He'll raise from the dead whom He will. He has sovereign rights equal with the Father. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. No difference. Look at verse 23 again. Or 24. It says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 26, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life. The Son is life. All life. Eternal life.
And verse 27, he has all authority. Now, go back to my text, and let me see if I can sum this up. John says in 2 John verse 7, many deceivers, and they'll go under the name Christian, they'll go under the name of apostles and preachers and Christian ministers, but they confess not that Jesus Christ, sovereign Lord of glory, eternal God, covenant God, has come into this world and manifested himself actually in human flesh. And those who do not preach that and teach that are deceivers and they're antichrist. Now look at verse 9. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. This doctrine of Christ. That's where it is. That's what it is. Hath not God. Now, what does it mean to confess Christ in the doctrine of Christ, in the glorious person and work? Well, three things. To confess Christ, first of all, is to discover by divine revelation who he is. You discover who he is. This is the reason I say we don't discover a doctrine. We don't learn a doctrine. We don't have revealed to us the mechanics of orthodoxy. Religion does that. But the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal Christ. Our Lord said, when the Comforter has come, he'll not speak of himself. He'll not speak of the gifts. He'll not speak of his office. But he'll glorify me. For he shall take the things of mine and show them to you. And this is what I'm saying, that a person who confesses Christ has got to, by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, discover Christ. He discovers Christ. And then secondly, he believes Christ in the heart. What the Holy Spirit reveals, he believes. He believes it enough to die for it. He believes it, as Christ said, enough to give up mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister. He believes it. It's not just an association and an affiliation. It's not just trying to get to heaven by doing certain things. He flat believes Christ. And to confess him is to identify with him. To confess Christ is a discovery. It's a revelation. It's something, someone that men do not by nature birth know. But Christ is revealed by the Spirit of God. And when Christ is revealed, that man believes, that woman believes. If nobody else believes, I believe. Will you also go away? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that. I hear people say, well, you know, there are fellows that believe these things, but they don't preach them. They don't believe them. Oh, yeah, I was sitting in a restaurant. The preacher told me he believed grace. He believed the effectual particular work of Christ, but he just doesn't preach it because it would cause trouble in the church. He doesn't believe it. No. 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 A man who is obsessed with Christ and separated to Christ and loves Christ, he'll fight hell for Christ's sake. Because he believes him. That's right. He's identified with him. As far as he's concerned, no one else exists but Christ. And in his relationship with anyone and anything is determined by his relationship with Christ, even his wife. That's exactly right. Even his children.
His relationship with them is determined by his relationship with Christ. That's the reason they're going to have trouble if they don't know Christ. I guarantee you. You marry an unbeliever, you're going to have trouble. There ain't no way in this world out of it. I guarantee you. If you're married to Christ. I'm saying this is confessing Christ. And what does it mean to abide in Christ? To abide in Christ is to be baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Submerged into Christ. One with Christ. Touch Christ, you touch you. And you touch you, you touch Christ. That's right. That's when David said, your enemies are mine. You touch Christ, you touch me. And as far as he's concerned, if you touch me, you touch him too. Touch not mine anointed. Oh, that's right. They're one. They're baptized into Christ. Abiding in Christ is to rest in Christ. You trouble about this world's... Nope. Why don't you fight communism like you see some of these other preachers? Communism ain't going nowhere. God's on the throne. He'll let the rope out as far as he wants it, and then he'll pull it back. He always has. He did Alexander and Hitler and Mussolini and
Tojo and all the rest of them.
He'll wind them back in.
The devil's got the devil. Just rest. And to abide in Christ is to continue in Christ.
And you know what it says here? And my friends, read it again, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in this doctrine of Christ, covenant of Christ, creating Christ, electing Christ, redeeming Christ, righteous Christ, crucified Christ, risen Christ, reigning Christ, enthroned Christ, living Christ, coming Christ, all that does not abide in this, they don't have God.
But a man who has been brought by the Spirit of God to this doctrine of Christ, don't make fun of it now. You know what he has? He has both the Father and the Son. That bird's got the Father and the Son. Now you think about that. That fella walking right here on this earth, sleeping in that bed, down there at that steel mill working, or that oil refinery, down at that railroad working, that fella in the mines, that fella with the blackened face and the old hat pulled down over his head and the old dirty overhauls, you know, with his hammer swinging here and his ruler and his pencil and shuffling along in those old worn-out shoes, you know, with his lunch pail. He's got God. That's right. God. Father and Son lives in him.
Christ said, my Father and I'll come and take up our abode in that fella.
He's got God. And your highfalutin, religious, theological professor with all of his degrees and all of his so-called learning sitting up there in the halls of learning and his temple erected to human flesh, preaching his great message on Sunday, that's not God. He's an imposter and he's an antichrist.
My God says in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine of Christ, I don't care how good it sounds, how old it is,
how many people follow? That many people can't be wrong, preacher. Who do you think you are?
Nobody.
But I know who he is.
What do you think you are? Nothing. Nothing.
But he's everything. And I'm not preaching me, I'm preaching him.
That many people can't be wrong.
They were in the flood.
They were at Kadesh Barnea when only Caleb and Joshua came back and said, let's go get it.
They said, no, let's go the other way.
If they come, I don't care how many of them there are. I don't care how convincing they are. And they'd deceive the elect if God had let them. I don't care how convincing it is if they bring not this doctrine. This doctrine. What doctrine? The You'll be right on the church.
No, I don't. I got to be right on the head of the church. He said, don't you receive them into your house, and don't you buy them a tank of gas. Because if you do, I hear people say, well, I just can't leave my church. That's where Mother and Daddy went. That's where Uncle Joe... We worked hard building that building. We just always been there. I know they don't preach much, but I'm going to go. You better not go. If this pulpit ever ceases to preach the doctrine of Christ, I'm going to be the first one out of here. I hope you are, too.
Don't leave me over nothing now. Don't leave me over the price of bananas.
But if I don't preach Christ, Cecil, you've been here a long time, faithful supporter, able teacher, you just have to skedaddle, wouldn't you?
Because that which brings us together is him. I want to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm interested in. That old Hebrew slave over there in Numbers, I believe, when he'd worked 7 years. And his master said, well, you can go free now. You can go free now. And he said, no. I love my master, and I love my master's household. And I'm going, if it's all right with you, I'll stay here, and I'll just be a bond slave. All right, but you'll have to go down here and have your ear bored. And so you'd be known as not a captive, but a bond slave. So he goes down there and they bore his ear, and he's now a bond slave. A willing, loving bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul called himself in Romans 1. And I wish we all could go by that name. And then they bury us out yonder beneath one of those little maple trees in Rose Hill. Just put on the tombstone there.
A bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Would you remember this? The doctrine of Christ. And everything else opens up in the light of who he is, what he did, why he did it, and where he is now. Our great Lord, this is the message. This is the truth because he's the truth. This is the way because he's the way. And this is life because Christ is our life. And I can't convince anyone. I can't make this real to anyone, not even to myself. So, our Father, by the power of your Spirit, take the message, Christ, the Word, Christ, the living Christ, and reveal him to every heart here this morning. May we walk out of here with Christ. And walk tomorrow with Christ, like Enoch of old, who walked with thee and had this testimony. He pleased thee. Lord, deliver us from logic, human wisdom, tradition, customs, and all these confining fetters, and set us free in Christ. Oh, to know him. The Son will make you free. You'll be free indeed. And that love and joy and happiness of Christ. Bless us with him. In his name we pray. Amen.